Welcome to Focus on Fuels, brought to you by StoneX. Your hosts are Trevor McClanahan, Risk Manager, and Alex Fodes, Director of Market Strategy from the StoneX Energy Desk. Alex and Trevor help fleet managers, fuel buyers, and energy procurement specialists gain control of fuel costs, boost margins, and keep their businesses competitive. Join them for another deep dive into the volatile energy markets.
Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results.
Welcome back, everybody, to Focus on Fuels. I'm your host, Alex Hodes, and I'm here with Trevor McClanahan. How's it going, Trevor?
Doing good, man. How's it been going for you?
So last week, I was in Nashville for one of our hedge schools. We put these on, I would say, quarterly. Nashville has tended to be the spot of choice the past several times, and so we had a good time out there. And that's something where our team just goes over a lot of kind of the hedging basics. So if any of you out there would ever like to attend, you can kind of catch up with me or some other members from the StoneX team. Do a great job at kind of educating there. And so it was a good time, but I'm glad to be back in the office.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those. And I do think it feeds a lot of different, people in general. It's not just for marketers out there. It is more of a general overview of kind of the market in general. It doesn't have as much of a, it's not specified on strategy as much, I would say. So it just gives you a lot of understanding on kind of the supply, just the economics of it all and supply and demand dynamics, showing kind of why, for one example, that's something that a lot of folks don't have as much of a good grip on is kind of the curve, what that means. And that's one big thing that I think that jumps out to people when they go to those kind of classes. So anytime that you guys have interest in those, feel free to reach out to us. We love having those classes do fill up pretty quick, but we typically have openings early on, especially. There's not like necessarily a waiting list or anything like that.
So. And we'll be sure to promote them on here when we have something coming up. I think the next one will be in December, but we don't really have a date scheduled, but we'll share it on here when it is. Yeah. Available.
We might try to squeeze another one in between there in Kansas City, just because those ones are obviously easier to put together for us since that's our hometown. So, we'll, like you said, we'll let everybody know when that time comes.
Okay. And kind of on the market side of things, it's been somewhat boring, I would say. I think the last time we were in here was after kind of the aggressive sell-off. It seems like things have settled. And we've rebounded somewhat on the crude front. And now we're kind of back into that zone where we're seeing headlines on nuclear deals with Iran. And so when that's kind of the top headline, somebody's getting bored out there and they're just trying to recycle some headlines. I think those are kind of not very important at this time.
And I think that it was a little bit, to be fair, to the media on that, there's been just more discussions around that, right? Like, Trump and Iranian leadership have had discussions, but it seems like they hit another brick wall, and it seems to have the exact same brick wall that it hits every time. Mm-hmm. We predicted that, but I don't know if we were. I wouldn't say we had some sort of crystal ball that made us
it's not,
figure that one out.
Cause not it super novel, I would say, of a take. But also, I guess, the talks with Putin the other day, Trump has, still tried to kind of push for a ceasefire. As of actually last week, there were kind of more of a ramping up of sanctions. I know that the U.S. placed an additional sanction on a Chinese refinery. Still, we're seeing barrels flow out of Iran and Venezuela and Russia. So there has not really been a huge fundamental shift, but, could signal something about the leadership of that they're trying to ramp up some more sanctions. So
yeah, I know Trump had a two-hour call with Putin. I think it was today or yesterday. Mm-hmm. And this is May 20th today. So, yeah, and it didn't seem like I really didn't get anything that they accomplished anything in those talks, but I have seen a lot of reports suggesting that Putin thinks he has this really strong hand and that he's going to continue to be aggressive as far as like any kind of ceasefire agreement or anything along those lines. And he continues to elaborate the fact that he wants fair give and take from both sides. And I think that almost alludes to like, you know, we're going to continue doing what we're going to do until you give us what we want. So, you know, that's a little bit of speculation, but it seems like that's kind of where things are staying right now.
Yeah, I think kind of more of an important story has been, and it's kind of a shift towards refined products lately, actually, which have kind of been in the background, I would say, with regards to what's going on in the markets. So we have seen elevated refinery outages across the globe, particularly in the Atlantic Basin. So we've seen some crack spread. So that is refining margins be elevated. So at this time of the year, and originally when we're coming into 2025, we were expecting kind of a lower or softer refining margin.
Based off demand, right?
Yeah, based off demand. And honestly, with additional refining capacity expected to come online, particularly the Olmeca refinery, the Dangote refinery, but we've seen kind of some unforeseen outages, and that's kind of led to some of that strength in diesel and gasoline. And honestly, at this point, we've seen kind of demand numbers hold up a little bit stronger than we would originally have thought. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the shift in the tariff negotiations with the U.S. and China is kind of increasing demand expectations from the previous, you know, status quo of when there was 125% tariffs on China and the U.S. We did see some weak numbers come out of China in April. Their crude oil throughput was, I believe, the lowest since 2024, early 2024. So it was a soft month in Asia. And a lot of that probably had to do with the tariffs, kind of people trying to figure out what to do with the tariffs. Importing propane from China was also very soft. So with all these tariffs kind of rolled back or delayed, we could see that kind of tick back up. And in my opinion, I think, you know, a signal of a trough that's backward looking is, I don't want to say bullish, but perhaps maybe less bearish, because we've kind of been through that weak month already. And, you know, the oil market tends to do a good job at kind of forward looking. Mm-hmm. But another effect of kind of the refining outages has been kind of the structure of the diesel market. Would you kind of like to have your take on there of what you're kind of seeing and what that kind of means to the market?
It's, and I elaborated to the, or alluded to this when we were saying, you know, the hedge school and how the understanding what that curve means, right? So when we say the curve, that we're talking about there is basically how the futures time spreads are spread out. So whether that's, you know, the front month, which we would consider, you know, the first month of the heating oil contract, the difference between that price and the following month behind it, what that spread has done in the last couple months, as it kind of starts as a lower number at the beginning of the month, like 1 or 2 cent spread, whereas the front month is slightly higher by a penny or two to the next month. And as the month progresses, that time spread continues to expand. And what that is basically saying is the market is starved for diesel. So there is a deficit in the diesel market right now, as Alex alluded to there, with refineries being down right now. We had a harsh winter that, you know, drained a lot of the diesel inventories from the Northeast and just globally in general. And then that also, you know, as we've progressed to the spring, we've had a lot of refinery outages, and we haven't been able to basically recover those inventories yet. And that has kept that structure of the market in place, where we're having a stair step down as you go further out into the futures. So I expect that to continue. I do think that these outages, all these refineries coming back online, though, should start to build up those diesel inventories some. Mm-hmm. But we do have some demand that could possibly show up again, mm-hmm. Just with summer demand coming online. And then, you know, school just got let out. So it's kind of the Memorial Day weekend coming around the corner. And that's another demand wave that could be hitting. So we do need to kind of keep an eye on that. But I mean, really, even though the crack spread continues to be strong on diesel, where inventories sit right now, it's actually still pretty discounted. So while I do believe that there's still plenty of potential weakness in this market based off tariff or, you know, whatever else is in front of us, you know, and see if there's more of a longer term effect to that and what that does to the demand in general. It will depend on the tariff situation. But if the demand stays strong, we're going to probably see higher prices this summer by a good margin.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the take on it, is that even with kind of a lack of a catalyst to kind of move us higher, we've kind of been in this range to kind of try and find a new newer range since OPEC's kind of changed their tune a little bit of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we saw an initial harsh sell-off. I think that was, you know, slightly overdone, which tends to happen in kind of the market. It overshoots, it undershoots, it overshoots, it undershoots. And now we're kind of in that range where we're settling and kind of finding that low. And I think we have found that kind of low point around that $55 per barrel on crude oil. And we're kind of seeing the market kind of shift a little bit higher in between that range. So I think there are not a huge amount of, you know, bullish catalysts right now, but judging by the valuation of kind of where crude's at, and like you said, comparing diesel inventories to what diesel flat price is, we're still showing very tight inventory. So we could see kind of a bump up in those diesel prices. I think that is the story of why we are seeing those cracks spread so high, because that's just the relationship of the refined product to the underlying crude. So you're seeing kind of the strength of the refined products kind of take the lead right now. But as some of these refineries come back online, one of them in particular, the Bayway refinery in the Northeast, that returning to the market is going to affect, you know, NYMEX heating oil specifically. So I could see that spread kind of come in solely because of that, because you know, diesel in the New York Harbor has been very tight, and that was a big driver of that was that kind of late winter push of a lot of that cold weather, and they've still kind of not rebounded there. But mm-hmm. you know, I think we're going to shift more to kind of gasoline, some gasoline kind of taking the lead of what the market's going to be focused on, because when we go towards that start of summer, you know, in the U.S. Memorial Day, that's kind of that's the trigger right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start to be a little bit more reactive to kind of where gas demand sits on a weekly basis. Jobs data, stuff like that might be kind of more focused, because gasoline tends to be kind of the driver here on the markets. Diesel, though, is also kind of entering that phase where we're just shifting. So according to kind of some of our inventory reports, the rate of change of those draws and inventories is expected to kind of turn, and we're going to kind of shift back towards build. So I think there's a few factors that might weigh on kind of narrowing that those refining crack margins, but I don't think that's to say that we're, you know, going to take a total step back in refined product prices. I think we're going to see crude kind of shift a little bit higher from here, and, you know, maybe that margin come in a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly where my head was, is maybe the crack spread narrowing will probably be a little bit more of a result of crude increasing, where, and then diesel mm-hmm. maybe staying somewhat level or drifting a little bit higher with along with it. But you know what, President Trump just did his first global trips, and he went to the Middle East to start things off. This time around, term that he went through, he just visited Saudi Arabia. This time he visited UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. We listened to an interview from Anas Al-Haji recently, and he had a little bit of a different opinion, and this is a kind of our favorite source on anything Middle East related, on what OPEC's next steps are and what that looks like going forward. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on what kind of you took from that?
Yeah, I think a lot of the initial interpretations of OPEC's adjustment in their strategy of bringing barrels forward, you know, they're bringing them quicker than originally announced. The initial thought was that, oh, wow, this means that, you know, there's a much greater price risk of potentially a substantial amount of OPEC supplies coming back on the market faster than we originally thought, which it is true for kind of maybe a shorter time frame, and perhaps OPEC's their sensitivity to kind of that price point has changed somewhat.
Yep.
And maybe that's why we've seen that kind of adjustment lower in where WTI or Brent kind of can hit that floor. The floor's kind of dropped a little bit, but I don't believe they want to bring these barrels back super aggressively. I think a lot of it, and this is kind of, you know, piggybacking off of what, you know, we listen to as well on others that are kind of their take on what OPEC's leadership is deciding, is that they're kind of choosing this as a route to kind of save face and have some unity within the group. So Kazakhstan had stated that they were not able to really produce at these quota levels, and they were going to continue overproducing, and kind of to go along with that, OPEC was like, okay, well, let's just like lift up the quotas a little bit, and then, you know, everybody's adhering to the same rules. So
yeah, so production in that, and within that theory, production stays the same as what it's been. They just are simply coming within compliance of what they have been had quotas at. And I think that's, media has definitely not portrayed it that way. And we don't know if that's how it's going to turn out in the first place, right? We still got to see that come to fruition. But I did think that was interesting. And I think that a lot of that is just OPEC trying to build that credibility back of, you know, that was a little thing, a lot of thing, or a big part of what they were nervous about this whole time was just losing that credibility and people just not, you know, market participants not taking them seriously when they're, you know, making cuts in general.
Yeah, because it's important for them to have
that
credibility, or else, yeah, their decisions are not going to be taken by the market. So
yeah,
they had, you know, continuously pushed like, hey, we're going to bring back these barrels. We're going to bring back these barrels. We're going to bring back these barrels. And people were like, yeah, right, you're not going to bring them back. And then they're like, okay, well, we got to do it at some point. And then they started bringing them back. And then, you know, this happened. So, you know, it's definitely a way to kind of just put everybody on the same track and gain that credibility.
Well, and I think the whole reason they couldn't bring them back in the first place, because they didn't really have that option because of where the pricing point was, right? I mean,
they stated that the demand was soft, and it actually appeared pretty soft in Asia. So
again, going back to that credibility thing, and then now that, like you said, they've leveled the playing field now, and then now it's more of a market share thing. So the U.S. market share is going to start evaporating some and shifting back into the OPEC's hands, as far as just crude oil market share in general. So, and that might be better for the market in general too, because there is a need for more of those heavier crudes right now.
Mm-hmm.
So those lighter sweet crudes, you know, the U.S. produces, there's less demand for those right now. And we've already seen a lot of CEOs, we've talked about it on the show many times, but Diamondback Energy, their CEO came out and said, you know, they're going to start already making some moves on that and reducing, I don't know if that was it reducing production or was it more just stagnating with their
I believe it was projects. Reducing CapEx substantially. Yeah. And, you know, just to kind of echo that, one, I think it's important is that you're seeing that headline. So, you know, if prices stay really low for a while, you're going to start seeing more and more head CEOs come out and be like, hey, we can't have prices this low. We can't have prices this low, almost to just gain attention to be like, okay, this is something that we need to focus on. So I think it's kind of the tip of the iceberg there, though. And, you know, since then, we've kind of come up from where those prices were at. But just to kind of echo on that point, and it's, I know this is just kind of a one-off, but one of our coworkers, he was talking to me and he was saying he was on a flight back home from the hedge school and he sat on a plane next to somebody that works in the Midland oil fields. And he said that their company had reduced, they were in the process of reducing staff by like, I want to say like 20%. Mm-hmm. And obviously these are just, you know, word of mouth. It's nothing. You can't just hang your hat on
sometimes
this,
but that's the best information.
But though. Yeah, that is true. I mean, like, you know, boots on the ground, as we say, yep. is some of the best information and insight. And, you know, that might have been kind of in the process in a long time. But it's definitely not a signal that the shale patch is booming and growing. You know, perhaps it's, you know, still at the steady level. And, you know, people are cutting costs and not really kind of diving deeper. And I think that in the current price environment, it's hard for us to see or expect shale to grow substantially. And as of our last month's production report, we are about 300,000 barrels per day under the estimate of what the EIA is forecasting for 2025. So, I mean, that's a supportive level right there in the crude oil market. And so that's why I think we initially had stated, you know, that $60 per barrel was a floor. You know, perhaps that's not it. Perhaps this $55 per barrel is a floor. And I think that the market's kind of showing that. So,
yeah. And there's been, I mean, this has been something that's an ongoing thing for a long time is like, really shale production has outperformed what everybody's expectations were for so long. But that was a total, result of high prices, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it could drifted the other, we could have flipped over and gone to the other direction here. I will say that they've always surprised.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I don't think any of us at StoneX have like some sort of forecast where we think, you know, crude production in the U.S. is going to fall to like 10 million barrels or something insane, right? But we just probably think it's going to stay flatlined or even drift slightly lower, but it's not going to be substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of barrels coming online globally. So it is going to keep a cap on prices, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, the biggest swing producer in the world is feeling a little bit of pain on where the price is right now. And that's important to realize.
Mm-hmm. I think that's perfectly said. And, you know, there's going to be other producers out there that can make margins at, you know, $15 a barrel, $20 yep. a barrel. But yep. really, yeah, paying attention to that swing producer, which has been the U.S. for so long. So
absolutely.
I think those are kind of the topics that we wanted to touch on today. Please do continue following us. We will also put a link to kind of some of our research, put out some reports today regarding kind of the refinery outages and expectations for the rest of the year and kind of putting a quantification on there. That's something we do on a monthly basis and is part of our broader research packages. But thank you all for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on Focus on Fuels. Thanks
everybody.
You've been listening to the Focus on Fuels podcast with Trevor McClanahan and Alex Hoves, brought to you by StoneX, NASDAQ ticker SNEX, a global Fortune 100 financial services company with a century of commodities risk management experience. Subscribe to Focus on Fuels on your preferred podcasting platform. For insights on managing fuel and energy price volatility, and to sign up for the free StoneX Morning Energy Brief newsletter, email focusonfuels@stonex.com or visit www.stonex.com. Please feel free to rate, review, and share this episode with colleagues. Until next time.